Appreciate each one that's come out this morning. You know, Trust, that's each of our desires. I would never miss heaven for the world. I'd never trade it. I was thinking for this service this morning, you think about God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, that's just how high His ways are than our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. So what we do is we say, Lord, since I understand that Your ways are much higher than ours, help me to be able to understand more about You. So today what I'd like for us to look at this morning is about building our faith in God. I was looking at the verse in Jude, the 20th verse. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, there was a time when the disciples told Jesus, Lord, we need an increase of faith. Remember what that was about? Jesus had just told them, if someone comes to you 7 times in a day and trespasses, and then they say, I'm sorry, you forgive them. You know, and then in another place, he talks about 70 times 7. And they say, Lord, we need an increase of our faith. So I'm thinking about for us today, how do we increase our faith in God? It seems like the world around us does not give us much help. In fact, they would like to crush that faith in God. But I'm thinking about a verse in Isaiah 59 and 19. The last part of that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I like that verse. I want it to happen in my life. How does that happen? I would like for us to think about something as we're looking at having a desire to increase faith in God. Being able to see who God really is and can be in my life. Where does that flood come in? When the enemy comes in like a flood, where does it begin? It begins in my thoughts. It's entered into my mind as thoughts. I've been thinking about this. If you were to think today, and we would have to ask God to help us, if in my mind, my thought patterns were recognized as books, the things that I let my thoughts go toward, they were compartmentalized into books. And God would need to help us. Because you remember, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So I can say, the books that I have formed from my thinking are just the right size. But if we really looked at the size of the books, what size would be the one that I say God is able? He's able with anything that can come my way. God is able. Or is there a book that's larger than that one that is the negative thinking of the world around us? I was thinking about David. You know, he's just out taking care of sheep. And his dad tells him, take this bread and this cheese and go down and see how your brothers are doing. That's all he is told to do. And he does just that. But you know what? There's something that has... David had some books built in his thinking process. He's already been building a relationship with God. He's already met up with the lion and the bear and saw what God is able to do. So when he goes along and he happens to be there when Goliath makes his call to the people and all of the children of Israel want to flee. And David said, who is this here? You remember they weren't used to anybody talking like that, so they sent him to the king. King Saul says, well, you know, I like your spunk, but you're a little too small. And, you know, David says, it's the same God that helped me with the lion and the bear that will help me with this one, too. Can you imagine going out as he did and heading toward him? It almost looks like when you read it, Goliath was expecting something bigger than that. Looks like he almost didn't even recognize him for a little bit till he spotted him. And Goliath makes his claims to David. Here's what I'm going to do to you. And then it says, David hasted and ran. You know, I would run too, but maybe the other way. But David had already built a confidence in God to where this is no different. Hasted and ran to meet the trouble because God is well able. So today what I'm interested in is being able to recognize more. God is able. There's nothing too much. So I'd like to look at a verse in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And he allows us to say, Lord, I would like for you to increase my faith to believe that you can do anything. And what I would like to do today is ask the Lord to help us each one, that our confidence in how God's ability is to take care of a problem, it's way up here. God is well able. Today, what I would like to do is magnify the Lord. When we hear that word often, we think of when I was a child and had a magnifying glass. I can put it on something, or I need it nowadays when I need to read and the letter is too small. Take a magnifying glass and make the letters bigger than what they really are on the page. When we say we want to magnify the Lord, it's not doing that. It's not making him any bigger than he is. What it's doing is causing my faith to rise to the level that I understand a little more of who he is and what he's able to do. In Psalms 34, because I think it's going to be real important, not just in this service, but as we go back home again, we don't know what this next year, what we will face. But help us to magnify the Lord in my thought patterns, in the books that I'm building from the thoughts that I'm thinking, the directions that I'm going with those thoughts. Psalms 34 and 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And then it goes on down, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Magnify the Lord with me. We hear that again with Mother Mary, the mother of Jesus. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Her thought process, better understanding who God is. And it's my desire that we would be able to have a capacity that enlarges of how big God is. There's been a song sung in the past. My God is bigger than any mountain that I can, and those that I still can't see, those that are out ahead, he's bigger than any of those mountains. Said he's bigger than any problem that I have today or I will have tomorrow. Isaiah 6 and 1, he got a vision of God. It says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. That's how he saw him. Isaiah saw him. So I'm thinking for myself, I got a choice I make day by day. Will I magnify the troubles that I face, or will I magnify the God that can take care of those troubles? I was thinking of Elisha. He's in Dothan, and he's walking so close to God that God is able to talk to him about the plans that the king of Syria has against the children of Israel. You remember how he would tell the king of Israel, hey, watch this place, because the Syrians are headed to this spot. And it said not just one time, but multiple times, the Syrians get there expecting a surprise attack, and they're prepared for them. To where the king of Syria says, somebody among us is against us. Who is it? I don't know how his soldiers knew it, but they said, it's none of us. So there's a man over in Dothan that he's in contact to where he can tell what you're saying in your bedchamber. And the king of Syria says, we stop everything else and go get him. And this is in the 6th chapter of 2 Kings. They surrounded the city during the night. There's no escape. And the servant, when he steps outside the next morning, he sees the situation. We're surrounded. There is nothing. We're in trouble. And he comes back and tells Elisha. And Elisha lets him know, no, there's more with us than there are with him. And you remember he says, this is about the 17th verse, he has a prayer. Praise us, a little simple prayer. Lord, would you open his eyes? And the Lord opened his eyes. And it said he saw another host bigger than that one. I think in the day we're living in, we just need the Lord to open our eyes, that he is well able. And I find places all through the scripture where it tells us, Psalms 121 and 1, I'm going to lift up mine eyes. You know, we're going to have to get our eyes lifted up. I'm going to lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Another verse of strength for us, Psalms 46. Psalms 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's a good verse to remember. He is well able to help me in any trouble that I face. But you know, that next verse kind of goes on in a little farther. Therefore, will not we fear, no matter what happens. We won't fear though the earth be removed. And I was reading in the commentary, it says that's probably talking about political turmoil. I won't have a fear then. I have to say, like the disciples about that one, Lord, increase my faith. Help me to be able to see that no matter what happens in the world around us, whether it's COVID, whether it's political, or any other thing, therefore will not we fear. The things around me that I always thought would be solid in temporal things, political things, they're shaken today. And you know what? Sometimes we could start with this right here, therefore will not we fear, and we could add some fears of our own. We could fill in the blank. But you know what? It goes on down. It says in the 4th verse, even though all those things are happening, there is a river. Not just a little trickle. There's a full flowing stream for us. The streams whereof will make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Today, am I able to see the Lord high and lifted up. No matter what troubles are out ahead for us, that I'll be able to have this vision of who God is. So I have been looking through some places that want to help our faith to be increased, because I can learn some lessons when I watch how God answered other people. So I would like to go to a place in 2 Chronicles in the 20th chapter. Because you know, we're not the only people that have ever had trouble in our lives. There have been instances in the Bible where they were desperate for help from God. I need you. This chapter, 2 Chronicles 20, says there's a big problem. They came to Jehoshaphat in the second verse, saying, "There's coming a great multitude against thee." In that third verse, Jehoshaphat did what I would do. He feared. But you know, what we do with the fears is what's important. It's not so bad that we fear. It's where we take the fears. Because you know what? There were other times when kings feared because the enemy's coming. And you know what they did? They hired the Egyptians. We need help. God's not here to help us. We're going to have to do something. So we hire somebody to help us. Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So I was looking at some of the steps. He got an answer. Jehoshaphat did. He got help from the Lord. What were some of the steps that led to it? It could be a help to me. What I found was that right here in the middle of all his trouble, in his fears, when he starts his prayer, how does he start it? Was it in desperation? "Lord, I can't think of nothing else except I need help, I need help." No, how he started it was, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven?" You think he's telling God something he doesn't know? God knows it. What he's wanting to do is remind God, "I see it myself." And he says, "Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God?" You know, when you start praying that kind of prayer, it's almost like it's going to move God on his throne. When you recognize, "God, you are high and lifted up. You are well able." And yet he goes on. He doesn't try to force God. "God, I'm going to tell you how you need to take care of this problem. And I expect you to do it." What did he say? 12th verse. "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." You know, I think that's going to be a secret for us. After I go to the Lord, and from my heart I tell him how high and lifted up he is, "Lord, you're well able to do anything, and now I rest it in your hands. How do you want to take care of this problem? Our eyes are upon thee." I look at that because God steps in. And he says, "This battle right here, you're not going to need to do any fighting. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." How many places in the Bible do you find when God worked that you said, "That's exactly how I would have told him to do it"? I can't think of any. Jericho, would I have told him, "Lord, I tell you what, for to take this, would you tell Joshua that he needs to walk people around the city every day and don't say a word? And then on the last day, just holler as loud as you can. That ought to take care of it." We would never think of it. Ours would be, "We've got something that we've got to do to be able to make this happen." How many places we would see, had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. There's another one that says, "God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand." For me to just kind of bypass that step, let me take this step right here. "Lord, you are high and lifted up. You can do anything. And now I rest it in your hands." And he told them, watch this. How could you ever go and win a battle against a host like that? You know what? We need to realize that God is almighty.
Yes, that's right.
He created man to start with. So he can tweak man at any time that he wants to. And that's what he did in this case. There were three companies that came together with one intention. We're going to destroy this group of Israelites. And so God says, y'all don't fight. Watch this. You know what he did? He affected the mental thinking of people. How could you take, all of a sudden, there's no longer three groups standing together. Now there's two groups that fight against one group until they're dead. I can only suppose in my mind that God somehow caused this group to feel like this other group here is not with us. We're going to have to fight them first. Destroyed them. And then God goes to the next step. You know, he needed the two groups to destroy the one. Now he says he turns the two against each other until they kill off each other. And we're going to try to think, Lord, I would like to tell you how you need to do your business. They didn't even have to fight in that battle. There was one other thing that they did. When they went out to battle, you know what they had when they're told you don't need to fight? That was a man telling them that. God has told me that you don't need to fight. Jehoshaphat tells them something else. Okay, we're heading out there where the battle should be. And here's how we're going to go about it. Start singing. Could you carry a tune? You know, we're so used to the fears and thinking about what can be. But you just think about those Israelites. They had a confidence in this prophet has gotten this from God. And their song was praising the beauty of holiness. It had nothing about a battle song or something that would get your, you know, there's songs that would get you stirred up. Now we're ready to go fight. No, it was again telling about how great God was. And God stepped in and took care of it. This volume that I'm building in my mind, that I reach into and I spend time through the day reading it, I either get to focus on my troubles, and that one can build to be, it can consume me to where that's all I think about every day. Or I can say, God, I'll tell you what, I'd like for you to help me. I believe you helped David to have a book that said, it's not about my size, it's not about me being by myself, it's not about even me taking glory for myself, it's all about God. Is there not a cause here? And understanding how God was, it was just the same as I had back there when I took care of the sheep, and he helped me. This one is another little problem that we're facing, that God will help me with that one too. So they appointed singers to praise the beauty of holiness, and God delivered them. I would like to put that in my book. To where when I have troubles, I say, you know what? This was a recipe for success for them. Possibly it could be a recipe for success for us. And here's what we're doing. We're not really saying, God, if I follow this step, you're going to give me whatever I want. Part of this is saying, God, if I follow this step, I'm going to be willing to accept whatever you give. It's putting me in the place to be able to receive it. You remember where the Israelites, it seemed like there was times when they were walking very close to God, and he let them know at the time you're doing that, you don't have to fear anybody. But then they would walk away from God, and you would find the Philistines would come along and take them over. They were in this condition in 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, but now they have come again to a place where they start repenting. And they're asking Samuel to pray for them. And they have all gathered together for Samuel to pray for them. And when they do that, the Philistines look at a big group of Israelites and must mean there needs to be a battle here. So they come to fight. You know what? The Israelites didn't come to fight. They came to pray. So they're not prepared to fight if it was going to be a battle. So what they do is they go to Samuel and they say, pray for us. And Samuel prayed. And God again did something that I wouldn't have thought could be done. It says he thundered a great thunder. You ever heard thunder all of a sudden that was, it made you not think about anything else either? Somehow he was able to take that, and this group no longer wanted to fight. They were smitten. And then in this one, Samuel did something that I think is important for all of us to do. He took a stone and he called it an Ebenezer stone, which means hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We need to put that in our lives, because what we're saying by that is, about the time I hit the next battle and I cannot even remember that you've ever helped me before, here's this stone that I look at, and it's to remember something. The stones that they carried out of the Jordan River and set on the other side, it wasn't just for them for the next couple of days to remember. They said, there's going to come a day when your children are going to come by here and they're going to see this pile of stones and they're going to ask you, what is the reason for these being here? And you're going to say, let me tell you what God did way back there for us. It's not just for our children. It's for us. So it was a reminder to them. It can be a reminder to us. There's a verse of a song. It says, the world's fierce winds are blowing. Are they ever? Temptation is sharp and keen. But I feel a peace in knowing. This is the peace that the world cannot give. I feel a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. And that's enough for me. For us to be able to put our hand in the Lord's, see these past examples of how God worked when it seems there's no way he could do it. Put those in that book that we need to build, because next week we're all going to pull down a book that we're building. Is it about God, how God can walk with us through any trouble? Or is it a book about all of the troubles that have ever happened in my life? You know, God has so many ways to do his business. We could go all through the afternoon and not touch them all. And he can do another new one for us at any time. But I thought about where it talks about, Job talked about it. God speaks once, yea, twice, and man doesn't perceive it. So he's able to go into man at night and put in some understanding. He's able to talk to him at night. Romans 11 and 33 says, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who has been God's counselor? Who tells God how he needs to do his business so he will be able to do it better? God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hand. I'd like to look at another story that I want to keep in my book, because God is well able to take care of any situation. In the book of Esther, you know, we find, how can you, if you're a slave, how can you rejoice? Looks like a tough time. Mordecai happened to be in that position. And you remember the story? Haman was the second in command. And Mordecai, even if he is a slave, he will not bow to other men. He only bows to God. And Haman cannot stand that. So not only does he say, I'm just not going to look at Mordecai when I walk by him. No, he's going to put him to death. And then when he finds he's a Jew, he says, I won't just stop there. I'm going to go on and I'd like to have all the Jews killed. Mordecai puts all that in the Lord's hands. Because there was a gallows built for Mordecai to die on. In my understanding, it was about 75 feet high. Why do you need it that high? You really only, if you're going to hang somebody, you only need it a little higher than they are tall, and it'll do the same thing. But he had such a hatred built inside of him. He had this thing built high enough that people can see for a long ways off what I plan to do. God is able to, you remember with the king of Syria? It said, nobody's against you, but it's God is revealing your secrets. Well, the king, on this night, he cannot sleep. Big deal. No coincidence. Except that when he cannot sleep, he asks for his diary to be read. Still no big deal. There's a lot of things that's happened in his life. Except that they just happen to turn it to a page. Folks, you think God's not able to help us with anything, everything today? He turned it to a page, and he started reading. There had been two men that had plotted to kill the king. Mordecai, in the past, had heard about it and warned about it, and the king's life was saved. And the king is just now asking a question. What has been done to honor Mordecai? When there's a knock at the door. Poor timing for Haman. But God is in control of all things. Haman steps inside ready to request Mordecai's life. But the king has a request first. Tell me, what would you do to the man that I would want to honor? And Haman cooks up a big one, because there is nobody the king would like to honor more than him. Says, I tell you, here's what I'd do. I'd take the king's horse, I'd take the king's robe, I'd take his crown, and I'd put it on that man. And then I'd find whoever is just below him to walk that horse around town and tell everybody, this is the man whom the king wants to honor. And the king said, thank you. Now go do it. Get Mordecai. Put him on the horse and you walk him around town. And you speak loudly, this is the man whom the king wants to honor. And you know, I'm going around at times wondering how God's going to help me with my little problem. And he is well able. Some came up against another king, Hezekiah. You know, Hezekiah had a title, said there was none like him. Before or after, he trusted in God. You remember those that came? It's in 2 Kings, the 18th chapter. We have whipped all these other countries, and you're next. Don't let him cause you to trust in God, because those folks all had a God also, and you can see what happened to them. So the news comes to Hezekiah, who has learned to put his trust in God. They even wrote it in a letter, what they're going to do to them. So he takes the letter. Have you ever gotten somebody else's mail in your mailbox? You won't even open it. You just go put it in their mailbox. It was for them. And that's what he did. This letter was not for me, Lord. This was your letter, Lord. I'd like to lay this out in front of you here, God. I want to hand it to you. And he also did the same thing that Jehoshaphat did. He magnified who God was. And then he gave him his mail. Lord, you read this, what they want to do. Lord, how do you want to take care of this? You know what God did? He mentioned something about, let that king know that I know how, you know, because really, they let God know, this is not about us, Lord. This is about you that they're talking. And so God sends back word to him, says, tell him, I'm going to put a hook in his nose. Where would you go if somebody hooked you in the nose? Wherever they wanted to lead you. And he said, I'm going to lead him right on back out of here. And he did that. You know, those are stories that Mom and Dad probably read to me when I was little. And they were interesting stories back then. You know, as an adult, I need to start storing them away in this book that says, God is well able. It doesn't matter. A year ago, when we were in this setting, we did not know who the president would be all week long and some days after. The country has gone in a direction this year, and yet God is still in control. We have to believe that God's hand is on the burner. It was with Job. You remember when Satan said, I can't touch him. I can't even touch his things because you have put a hedge around him. Folks, I tell you, as a Christian, we ought to rejoice in that. Because that is what it is for every one of us. God has his hand around us. If anything happens, we will be able to safely say, God has allowed it. He's in control. Because, folks, we're headed for eternity. And it's going to be one of two places. I'm desperate to go to heaven. And it's some of these things that he wants to use to help me get there. And if I'm not careful, I can fight them. You know, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. When I'm walking real close to the Lord, what am I going to ask for? Lord, my desire is that you'll send to me whatever you want to send for me to make heaven my home. And I will recognize it as that. See, we've seen all these places where there's no question in my mind what God can do. The question is, can I trust him? You know, it goes on down in the last of Hebrews. It says, what more can we say? We're running out of room here in Hebrews 11 to tell of all this list of people that put their hand in God's. Gideon was one of them. 32,000 people against, I believe it was about 150,000 of the enemy. And God says, you've got too many people. And I'll tell you why. Lest Israel should vaunt itself. If you won the battle with 30,000 people against 150, you'd walk away saying, oh, you want to hear how we did it? Let me tell you. So we're going to cut it down. You tell them, if you're scared, go home. Would you be scared if you were in the 32,000 against 150,000? 22,000 were. and they got out of there. So now we're down to a lot less people, and God says, you still got too many. Had I the choosing, heart cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. If I'd have been there, and I'm down to 10,000, you remember some of the mighty men that were warriors? It said they could throw a stone and not miss it at a hair breadth. That's a pretty good chunking right there. That's good throwing. I would say I got 10,000. Let's set up some range here and let's find out who's the best. God says, no, I've already got a plan for that. Take them down and see how they drink water. You know, I think, what is it, the foolishness? People see the foolishness of God, and yet he is able to work with that. How do you drink water? Can you imagine those 9,700 people went home and was able to tell their family the battle hadn't started yet? I just found out I drank water the wrong way, and I've been sent home. And now we've got 300 people. And God says, it's the right number now. And he tells them how to go about it. You would think, what? Okay, 300 people, we're outnumbered for sure now. But let's get the best weapons we can get. God says, I got that figured out too. You're going to need a lantern. Now that 150,000 are going to see where you are. And you're going to need a pitcher. And then you're going to need a trumpet. Now they're going to really know where you are. And you need God. 300 was all that was needed at that time. 300 that believed that God will be with them. And they had victory. Because if we could just realize, God made the human body. He can make me hear something. Sometimes I do at night. Hear something and I'm sure that's something bad out there. He could do the same thing with those folks. He had to have magnified the noise. The lights, surely that looked more than 300 lights out there. However he did it, it caused fear to come to those people and they fled. Are those just stories for us today? Can I store them away in my book and say, I tell you what, this same God that worked back then, he has not changed. The same yesterday, today, and forever. What I need to do is have some book burnings. The doubts, the fears, the what ifs, the whys, God, don't you do it this way. And put my hand in God's. Yes. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we are able to ask or think. And you know what? If he gets me to heaven, it's going to be exceedingly abundantly more than I could have ever thought. So I ask him, lead on and help me to put my hand in yours. Amen.